Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave the magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning. The show can be contained.
Well, good evening, and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. We have a great show planned for you, and I certainly do look forward to it well. So I want to go ahead and thank you all for tuning in. We're coming up on a, I'm still a little bit under the weather. We're coming up on a six-year anniversary with the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, and I want all of you all to know that without you, the success of this program could not be possible. So I truly, truly, truly want to thank each and every one of you all for your continued support. You have really, really inspired this show. You've done so much to make the show what it is, and I am forever grateful for you. So I want you to just keep that in mind, that without you, this show could not have been possible all of these years that we've been on the air. We have about 93, just over 93,000 people that are tuning in to this broadcast. So, and it's growing. It's constantly growing. So we want to thank each and every one of you all for that support. I also want to go ahead and thank each and every one of you all for checking out my website. We're getting an average of about just over 3,000 visitors per month that's going in checking out my website. So I thank you for that. Keep it coming. You can check out my scroll down as you go to the website at drjessewalker.com or Dr. Jesse Walker Inc., either one of those. And you can scroll down and, of course, see the services that I offer. And I'm certain that there's a service there somewhere within that framework that would benefit you or someone that you know, including a family member. So please continue to check out my website and shows at drjesswalker.com. We've got a great show planned tonight, and I want to go ahead and get started. I'm going to bring in my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement. And I'm going to we're going to talk a little bit about a show that's coming up that's very special on next week. So without further delay, why don't I go ahead and bring in Ms. Audrey Blake. Ms. Blake, welcome to the show this evening.
Hello, Dr. Walker. How are you?
I'm doing much better. How are you?
I'm great. Just looking forward to tonight's show and, of course, next week's show as well.
Okay, it sounds really good. All right, just before we get into tonight's broadcast, so that all the listening audience all over can know what's going on, let's talk about next week's broadcast. There's going to be a live interview. Many of the audience have not heard this live interview. I'm going to be interviewing you about your book. Which one of the books in particular?
Well, the second edition of Falling in Love with Me. I know that the listeners frequently hear me make references to the book, and so I welcome and I'm honored to have the opportunity to be interviewed by you about the book next week.
Okay, the second edition of, did you say Falling in Love with Me?
Yes, of Falling in Love with Me.
All right, I'm certainly looking forward to that. I know it's going to be an interesting one, and when we do open up the dialogue Will you, just the format, so that the listening audience that are listening tonight will have an idea of what to expect. Do you anticipate them asking questions, or will the format include them being able to ask you some questions over the air?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I do welcome questions as a professionally certified life coach and author of the book on relationships. Also, we have a kind of like a scenario that we will be sharing with the audience called just how did I end up in this relationship? And so we'll discuss that. I look forward to that discussion as well as talking about the book and its contents.
Okay. You know, that's going to be very interesting because after a while, after people have found themselves in relationships, too little, too late, they end up asking sometimes, how did I end up in this relationship? How did I finally end up in this relationship? And that's going to be very interesting for people to realize that, you know what, coming on the air, they didn't think that they would have ended up in such a relationship, but it's going to take all of us to help each other out, because even when people have ended up in the wrong relationship or what they feel to be the wrong relationship, there may be something that one of our guests say, you may say it or I may say it, that gives the person
right.
something to think about. So, you know, it's going to take everybody to try to help each other out. I don't think any of us are in this thing we call life alone. What are your thoughts
Absolutely.
On that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad you say that, because even though we are life coaches, I just was speaking with someone I'm working with a project on out of Dallas, and I was saying, you know, life coaches need coaches too, because
right.
we are human beings. So we need each other. You know, that's the one thing we can be sure of.
Well, that is absolutely certain, and that comes without a doubt. So I am certainly looking forward, all of those of you all that are listening or will be listening to the archives, please tune in next Tuesday, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. There will be a live interview with my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake. And, of course, as you listen in, you will be able to, at some point throughout the show, you will be able to ask questions that you may have relative to her book, and some issues relative to what we discussed that night as well. All right, let's get ready to go. Right,
Dr. Walker.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes.
Oh, go
one
ahead and do your commercial as well.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's fine, because next week will be plenty. But I do want to say that just to whet their appetites just a little bit, one of the things we will be discussing in the scenario and as well as about the book is, you know, when you say, how did I end up in this relationship? A lot of people or some people will find themselves falling in love before they fall in love with themselves. So it's going to go real deep next week, but I guarantee that they will be glad they tuned in.
All right. Well, it sounds good to me, and it sounds deep already, because when you just simply say a lot of people are going to find themselves that they have fallen in love, but they have failed to fall in love with themselves, so that's going to be very interesting, very, very interesting.
Yes.
So I look forward to it. Is there anything else that you wanted to add just before we go to tonight's broadcast?
The only thing very quickly is that, and I'll talk about it more next week as well, is there is a big book release event coming here in Atlanta where I am releasing the book. So the book will be available in stores and on site. And that is happening February the 24th at Kinley's Restaurant here in Atlanta, Georgia. It's on the campus of Georgia State University. And so we can talk more about that next week. But it's from 5 to 6:30. So if you're in the Atlanta area or you live in Atlanta or coming to Atlanta, stop by. I'll be there. And that's it, Dr. Walker.
Okay, when did you say that would be on what day, though?
It's on February the 24th. It's a Tuesday from 5 o'clock to 6:30 p.m. on the campus of Georgia State, Kinley's Restaurant, 75 Piedmont Avenue.
Okay, excellent. If you're certainly in the Atlanta area, I encourage all of you all to stop by. All right, tonight's topic. Well, before we get to the topic, our characters in tonight's story, Yolanda and Zen. Yolanda and Zen. Yolanda then dated for 2 years before finally getting married. Now, in spite of the fact everyone around them felt this relationship was a time bomb waiting to happen, the family members and friends from both sides actually could clearly see that this couple was not meant to be together because of the consistency and not only the argument, they occasionally encountered some physical fight. Now, that is a taboo. There was countless public shouting that, and the list could go on. Yolanda and Zen, both in their mid to upper 30s, previously married, now they've been married before, with desires to try it again together despite some serious issues, did it and chose not to care about anything family or friends thought on the contrary. Now, one of the only things that kept this couple together was their strong ties to intimacy. So I guess, in other words, the intimacy was very good. Now, it has now been 11 months into the marriage, and Yolanda is finding things about Zen that she actually refuses to live with. As such, the same things Zen is finding about Yolanda. Now, they don't have children together, but they do. But Yolanda, both of them, and separate from their previous marriages, have two kids each that are still under the age of 10. Now, without giving the marriage any more time, they have mutually agreed to divorce and completely bypass a legal separation or any counseling. They just figure, let's just get this thing over with. It is clear to both of them that they ignored all the telltale signs that should have never been ignored. Now, the question is that we start out with tonight, Ms. Blake, wouldn't you think that 2 years is enough to get to know somebody, even with the telltale signs?
You know, that's a hard question because I personally have been there. And, you know, we frequently say, do you really ever really know a person until you live with them? And so I didn't hear a reference that this couple had cohabitated together prior to marriage. Not that I'm advocating that, but I'm just saying if they had not really lived with each other, yeah, it's possible that for 2 years that they didn't really know each other, but there definitely would have been some signs.
Right. Well, you know, there's no sign that they lived together. But, I mean, 2 years, you know, and I agree with you, that is certainly, even not living together, you got to see something in 2 years. There's got to be some telltale signs, and that's tonight's topic. Some telltale signs that you may be wasting your time in your relationship. Some telltale signs that you may be wasting your time in your relationship. We're going to go to the phone line shortly, but I want to give my spiel on that. And, of course, if you want to talk to the host, speak to the issue, press 1, because our listening audience needs to hear from you all out there and give your thoughts, and not just Ms. Blake's life coaching experience or my life coaching experience, but they'd also like to hear from you all. And perhaps some of you all have a story that you'd like to share with us or just a thought. Why it is that some people, you know, and I'll throw this one out there, why is it, Ms. Blake, that there are some people that actually ignore telltale signs?
Well, you said something, and we're going to touch on this next week as well, but you said something that, you know, it sounds like they had a lot of passion. And passion will cloud the judgment every time. You know, we had a special guest one time that talked about the hormone influences that bond people together. So
I remember
it could
that.
Have been, you know, the passion, you know, and that, like your book says, after the passion, now what? Well, after the passion,
right.
Now you don't know how to separate because you're bonded by the passion.
Right, and this is everything. You know, this is it, that passion. That passion, and Ms. Blake, you're so right. It clouds your judgment. I remember that show that we had with the gentleman on there that talked about that. Your passion can cloud your judgment to cause you to make, you know, some ill-suited decisions in life. And just as with Yolanda and Ben, you know, that passion for 2 years, that was the only thing that they had that was actually holding them together, was that strong intimacy. And, but, you know, there comes a point in time when that's just not enough.
It's not. Yeah. You need more substance because the human experience is more than just the fulfilling of passion. While that is important, there is so much more to the human experience. And so that's not going to meet your whole hierarchy of needs. It's just one thing on the list.
It's just one thing on the list, and after a while, and just as you're saying, it's not going to meet that wholeheartedly, all that, you know, that hierarchy of needs. And eventually people will, you know, they'll get frustrated, and they won't even have that desire because those other factors have come into play. And, I mean, this couple here is even experiencing some physical altercations, and that's not good. After it gets
that's
to,
never
it
good.
To that point, no, it's never good. And when it gets to that point, you're starting to chip away at the person's desire for you. And after a while, no matter how good that passion was, they don't desire it anymore. So that is an interesting thing, you know, which answers my other question. What, if anything, keeps people like Yolanda and Zen together in the first place? And that could be that passion. But after a
right.
while, you know, when you can't pay the bills, you know, and you need that, you know, and the person's not working or they're not making the effort to find work, you know, after a while, you know, the desire is just not there. I mean, you know,
yeah,
you're
it has to be a deeper level, right?
Yeah.
It has to be a deeper level. And again, you know, you mentioned not being able to pay the bills. That factor in itself sometimes will keep people together. It wouldn't keep me there, but I have seen instances where people stay together because of the economics of the situation.
Right. We're going to encourage you all to send in your comments tonight. Also, if you have some comments that you want to speak to the issue of in terms of the telltale signs that you may be wasting your time in a relationship, we're going to go to phone lines momentarily. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You can certainly tune in at 347-857-1769, or you can listen via the internet at drjessewalker.com. Press the play button on there, and you can listen to the show. And even some of our archive shows, you know, some of the telltale signs, you know, just some of the telltale signs, I want to throw a couple of them out. If you're in a relationship that is clearly physically abusive, whether it's the man or the woman, somebody is striking out, let me tell you, that is definitely a telltale sign that's not the relationship that you want to be in. If someone, whether it's a man or a woman, you know, and men are known more to be physically abusive than women, but if that's the case, that's the telltale sign is if there's physical abuse, run as far as you can, as quick as you can, because that is not the relationship you want to be in. Ms. Blake, you want to touch on that as well?
Definitely. In fact, I have a novel out there that I don't talk about very much, an e-book novel, and that is addressed in that novel, Dying to Wake Up. But, yeah, I would definitely say do not, under any circumstances, tolerate abuse, particularly if you see it starting in the dating relationship.
Right.
That's never a good sign, ever. Because it
right.
will progressively, you'll see it again.
Right, you certainly will. Excuse me, and I agree with that fully and wholeheartedly. Also, there's another one that people tend to wrestle with in terms of having a clear understanding of it. And I want to throw some things out there tonight as a life coach, and I'm going to encourage you to do as well, Ms. Blake. And that is a second component of telltale sign, and that is mental abuse. And mental abuse in this case is where someone is trying to completely take control of your mind to make you sort of conform to their methodology or their method or style of living. You know, someone wants to completely make a complete makeover of you. You're not good enough as you are, but they want to control your mind and everything about you. I even know of a situation where once a lady said her husband, if she didn't use the toothpaste that he wanted to use, it was a problem. It was a problem.
Wow.
It had to be everything that he set forth in that house had to be according to what he wanted. And, you know, it's not just men, but it's women also. If there are women out there who, if you don't do things the way that I wanted to do, you know, I have the last word, then, you know, that control mechanism, that where, you know, you're treated, instead of an equal, you're treated as a child in the relationship. That, to me, is mental abuse. And it's also, I mean, you may find some borderline areas there for some psychiatric concerns as well. Go ahead, Ms. Blake, touch on that.
Right. Well, definitely. And this is why it's so important, as we'll talk on next week, to fall in love with you, and meaning yourself, because you have to know who you are. And, you know, people need to accept you as you are. And, you know, we'll talk about it more next week. You need to accept you as who you are, because we cannot allow people to control us. And, you know, I forgot the quote that I really wanted to use, but it was, I think it's, no one can make you feel inferior unless you allow them to. That was a very famous quote, and this is true. So you cannot allow them to treat you inferior, you know, to them, or control what you do or what you say. That's just never good. And you have some people who by personality are pleasers. So it's a dangerous thing when a pleaser connects with a controller.
Okay, and that's a very interesting point, because they talk about pleasers in psychology, pleasers versus dealing with the controller. Now, I want to make certain that I set the record straight. When we talk about being in a relationship where it's mentally abusive, now that doesn't mean, I'm not certainly sending a message out here that because a couple has a discussion and there's a disagreement, to me, it's more geared toward, mental abuse is geared more towards one party in the relationship, and you'll help me with this, Ms. Blake, give me your thoughts on it, where one party tries to dominate every one of those discussions to a point where it's clearly evident that it's my way and nobody else's way. We're going to always do things my way. You have no voice in the matter. You have no opinion in the matter. You have no concern, none of that. Your voice does not matter. Your vote doesn't matter. It's going to be my way, and that's the law, and that's it. Now tell me, now that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a situation, that's to me is mental abuse. I'm not talking about a situation where a couple has an issue, they discuss that, and they discuss it openly with equalness in the relationship, and then you can you have a mutual respect for that dialogue, that discussion. But if somebody is always constantly dominating, they're talking to you in a subservient way, you know, or as a dictatorship, that to me is mental abuse. Go ahead, Ms. Blake.
I do agree. And also there is that whole term of passive aggressiveness, you know, where that individual may not necessarily be forceful, but they always try to give you doubt about what you're doing. Like, you're going to do that? Why did you use that? You know, and it's always trying to take away that confidence from their significant other. Because love doesn't do that. You know, love protects and love nurtures. But someone who is always trying to make another person doubt themselves, that's some abuse going on. That's some control factors coming in. That's a need to make someone else feel inferior.
I agree with you. And then also, I'm glad that you mentioned that as well. And we have to be very careful about that. And you've got to, I want to add to that, and you've got to be careful. And I think part of what you're touching on is manipulations. When people want to control, they will use manipulating ways to try to control you. So you have to be very careful about, you know, in psychology, we deal with the power of suggestion, you know. I mean, there are so many ways out there that people will try to get their points in by doing it through a manipulation, a control or abuse. And again, I want to clearly say, manipulation doesn't necessarily, and sometimes people are unaware that they're doing that, and manipulation tactics are not necessarily along these lines. I think it's when somebody is trying to constantly control you. For example, a man might say. You know, he might decide, well, I'm cooking you dinner this evening. He tells his sweetheart he's cooking her dinner this evening. But he first says, what would you like to eat? And she gives him the menu of what she'd like to eat. And then he says, no, you don't want that. You want to have, you know, X, Y, Z, and E. And so now that to me is a manipulation of what he wants to do, when in fact he should have just said, well, you know, I'd like to cook X, Y, Z, and E for you. Would you like that? You know,
right,
instead of asking her up front, what is it you would like to have? And then she turns around, or he turns around and gives her what he wants her to have. That, to me, is
right.
a form of manipulation. And if he does this on a consistent basis with that relationship, that, to me, are manipulations, and that's a form of control. We're going to go to the phone lines in a moment. After you touch bases, you're going to piggyback on that.
Well, I agree with you totally on that. There's just several ways to do that. And the main thing I think that we're trying to get across here in this dialogue is pay attention. Pay attention. Again, you know, rest in peace, Maya Angelou, when she said, believe people when they show you who they are. I think we've got to listen. We've got to pay attention. We have two ears and one mouth. There's a reason. Listen and pay attention and believe what you're seeing.
Okay, and you're so right. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines now. We're going to go to 954-226. I believe that's 954-226. Who do we have on the air?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thank you for joining us this evening. Rose, give us your take on this tonight's topic.
Hi, Ms. Blake. How are you?
I'm great. What's on your mind?
Great. You know, as I listened, I totally agree with both the comments that you and Dr. Walker are giving. Now, this couple in the story, I believe that there were so many warning signs that they could have heeded to, but they refused. And I believe that there's a possibility as I listen. That maybe somebody was desperate, you know, or they both were desperate because maybe they already got married, they had a divorce, they both have two children, and they probably wanted someone to help them to raise the kids, you know, and maybe they, you know, they found each other, the passion was good, and they just assumed that, hey, once this is good, especially the man, he's going to think, hey, this is good, I can live with this, you know? And also the female. And so they were blinded, as you guys said, you know, by that, which is so wrong. Now, the fact that they were already having issues during their dating period, they were already fighting a lot, they were both physical with each other, that should have told them that, listen, this is not right. And maybe they could have changed that had they gone through counseling during that dating period to teach them, like, how they need to act or, you know, or what they need to change and get some help before they dash into marriage. And maybe they could have saved themselves that time, but it seemed that they both just wanted what they wanted. They wanted to settle down. They wanted someone to raise their kids maybe, and they wanted to legalize the passion. You know, I don't know what to say about that, but they had a lot of opportunities to either get out of the relationship or get some help before they went into the marriage. So I don't know what they're going to do at this point.
You know, it's interesting that you say, Rose, that they want to legalize the marriage. But, I mean, they've been together 2 years. And after 11 months, they're getting a divorce. They have mutually agreed to get a divorce. I mean, you know, they got into something only to get out of it. I mean, you know what? I'm really not mad at them because I think rather than waste time, when you see that it's not working, I think that it's and especially if you feel that you've done everything that you can. But in this case, they didn't even go to counseling. They didn't want to leave separation. They just want to get rid of each other. And, you know, I mean, anytime, and Ms. Blake, I want your thoughts on that, and Rose, we're going to ask you as well. When it gets to the point where it becomes physical, it's clearly time to get out. Rose, what do you think?
Well, they got physical before they got married, so they should have got a time. They shouldn't have waited until they actually got married. I just think it's sad because I don't think people value marriage as they ought to. You know, I think people think, okay, we'll just get married. If it doesn't work, we just go our separate ways. But they take vows before God. And I think people need to take marriage a little bit more seriously, not just get in and get out. And this couple, I mean, they had the problems they were having before they got married. So I believe that they just didn't take the time that they needed to take or didn't take it as seriously as they should have, you know, when they decided to commit to each other in marriage. And I don't believe that they should just throw it away, you know, before getting help. I think they needed to at least go and seek some help before they decide to get out. I guess now they realize, hey, you know what, the passion is not all that. We had enough of the passion, now we need to move on to someone else. But I think we do need to take marriage a little bit more seriously, and we need to think very hard before we get into it, you know. And if we decide in our heart that, you know, this commitment is not something to take very lightly, we would really do our homework before we get into it, you know, so that we won't just dash out at the first sign of trouble.
What do you think, Ms. Rose, is on point, Ms. Blake?
Yeah, I'm listening, and I do agree with that. I want to go back and talk about something Rose said that I really like, that really can be a show of its own, and that is legalizing the passion. You know, I think that, and I'm going to put it out to you, you know how I am, I think churches push people to do that. People who grow up in Christian homes, of hearing that sex outside of marriage is a sin, they feel this need to legalize the passion. Problem is, like with this couple, that's all they apparently had going was the passion. And again, I have to plug for your book, After the Passion, Now What?
Now What?
And
absolutely.
So, yeah. So that's a problem. She's right that marriage is very, very serious. And if people would go into it a little bit more, the other thing is people get caught up with the wedding, and they get caught up with the ring and the ceremony and the colors and planning for the ceremony, that is. And they don't get as caught up with the commitment. And by the time the dust settles, they realize that they don't know who they're married to.
That is so true. That is absolutely so true. And that's the problem with that a lot of people have. And they don't know how to fix it because telltale signs have been there and they just, you know, have ignored those. Let's take some of the comments that have come in. And Rose, we'll pass the first comment along to you. And this female writes in, she says, one of the telltale signs I think a lot of women miss is the fact that if the guy lies to you once, he is likely to have a pattern of lying to you, which may lead to other problems in your relationship. Rose, how true do you think that is? Doesn't he deserve a second chance? If he lies once, is he really likely to lie to you again, which could lead to bigger problems in the relationship?
You know, that's very hard. Yes, I do believe that if he lies, you know, if you caught him in a lie, it's possible that he's going to do it again. Now, I think a lot of women, we don't want to admit or that he's lying. Sometimes we'll know it's a lie, and we just pretend like, it's okay, or we just pretend like it's not a lie. But deep down, we know it's, you know, he's lying. Now, I think we need to. We need to call him out on that, you know. And the only way he's going to change is if he learns the hard way. When you lie, you lose your significant other. So next time when you find someone else who's willing to be with you, make sure you don't lie to her, you know.
So let me just ask you this. Rose, you mentioned that you'll call him out on the lie. But, I mean, basically if you call him out on the lie, he's going to tell another lie to cover up that lie. So Do you just give him a second chance? I mean, where's the love and the commitment for the guy? Poor fellow.
I'm not sure. I mean, I think some people would say, okay, give him a second chance. He lied. You call him out. He apologized, and he said he won't do it again, and then you go on. But more than likely, he's going to do it again. If it's a part of him, I hate to say he cannot help it because he can. It's just what he chooses to do. And when he thinks that he can get away with it, he'll just keep doing it. And that is why you have to call him out on it and let him go. Let him know that you know he's lying.
So, Ms. Blake, he lies once. Is he likely to lie again? I mean, does he really learn his lesson or no?
People are different. And I'm a little bit different. People tell me that I'm probably more forgiving than the average person sometimes. I have this thing I call the shelf. So if there's one lie or some inconsistency, I put it on the shelf. I take note of it. And I will confront, if I'm sure of it, I definitely will bring it up. But, you know, I won't say one time equals the rest of his life, his character, because maybe he felt he had to do that to keep me, or maybe he felt that I really wouldn't accept the truth. That does happen sometimes. But now if I
right.
start seeing a pattern, you do it again, and I'm like, that's the second time they did that. You know, then you need to wise up. But I personally would not just write them off at the first time.
That's nice to hear, Ms. Blake. And now I'm going to take the gloves off just for a second because I want to ask you. You know how we do. I got to ask you this question. So now you have discovered that he's been cheating on you for a while, and you confront him about that. And, you know, he's lied, and he's covered up several lies. And he says, you know what, baby, it was just something that just happened. And I can assure you that it won't happen again. You know, he's been good in all the other areas, treats you like a queen. And do you give him that second chance?
And to give you, I'm taking my gloves off too and being real. It depends on if I'm married to him or if I'm dating him. You know, I'm single
okay.
right now. So, I mean, I feel single, I have way more options. Marriage is a deeper
okay.
commitment.
Okay.
You know, but not saying that I wouldn't leave in a marriage situation. But, again,
right.
I'm more forgiving than most. So, but in a relationship, I'm pretty much done because what will happen, and even if I don't walk away immediately, the distrust
right.
is always going to be there. And so eventually it's going to end because the questions will come, the distrust in what they're saying will come, and that's not the way to be in a relationship.
What about Ms. Blake if he's tall, very good looking, and, you know, he's a ladies' man, and, you know, you just can't fight him off all the time? I mean, what do you do? I mean, poor guy. It's not. He says his daddy was like that. He can't help it.
His daddy probably was, too. He's probably being honest. It's probably genetic.
Right.
I'm just keeping it real. A lot of people out there
right.
like, oh, I don't know why my son is acting like that because he's you.
Right.
But anyway, as a woman, I'm speaking from my point of view, you have to value
right.
yourself enough to say, I deserve more than this. And if you don't realize
okay.
that you're worth a diamond and a precious jewel, I know my value and I know my worth.
All right.
So that
you know,
itself should make you walk away.
Right. Now, and I like what you said, valuing yourself as a person, because it can go either way, man or the woman. But we had a show several years ago, I don't think you were co-hosting with me at the time, where we brought up issues similar to what we're presenting tonight, right now. And I distinctively recall several ladies saying, you know what, if that woman doesn't give him a second chance and I get a glimpse of him, and even if that's my friend, husband
right.
or boyfriend. That's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
They say,
mm-hmm.
I will give him a chance. And I couldn't believe it. These were ladies that were saying, even if that's my best friend's man and she's done with him, I will date him. you know, and I will tell her, say, look, if you're sure you're done with him, I will date him. Rose, let's go to you real quick and then come back to you.
And then I'd like to comment on that as well, yeah.
Okay.
On the last set, yes, I'm here. When it comes to dating my friend's ex, no, I would never do that. As long as it was my friend or my sibling, no. I just think that there's a line that you don't cross.
Thank you, Rose. Ms. Lake, go ahead.
I'm a little different. In terms of, well, one, I do agree with Rose in terms of, like, my best friend, my closest friend, I'd have a problem dating that individual. But I'm just the opposite where, like, there's someone right now that, you know, dates my ex-husband, and I'm cool. Because, see, when I'm done, I can care less, you know. So I had a birthday party in Ohio, and I invited them both, you know, because I don't get these women who have issues with people being with their ex that they left. I can see if the ex left them. But if they left the ex and they truly said, I don't want him anymore, then you don't care who has the trash when you throw it out. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Yeah. So, Ms. Blake, come on now. Isn't it possible, and you know this as a life coach, I'm sure, that sometimes people, men or women, will be with someone, one of your friends. They will try to get one of your friends. We do know that to be a fact, right?
I'm sure it happens. But my whole thing is, when I'm done, I'm done. And I guess it's one of the things we just talked about. The fact is that I don't walk away so quickly. You know, so the fact that I didn't walk away at the first sign of cheating, and by the time I kick you to the curb, you know, I've tolerated a lot. And so it's like I'm at peace with my decision. And whoever else has you, like I said, when you put the trash out, you really don't care who picks it up.
Okay. All right, that's interesting. We're going to take some more of the comments that have come in. But let's give Rose another chance to see if she wants to rebuttal anything.
I agree with Ms. Blake. However, I would not be the one to go with my friend's ex. I don't care who wanted to go with my ex, because once I'm finished that, Ms. Blake said I'm finished, it doesn't matter to me who went with him. I just would not want to go with one of my friend's ex. I just wouldn't do that.
All right. Well, that's interesting. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. If you're just joining us by any chance, tonight's topic is some telltale signs that you may be wasting your time in your relationship. Nice characters we've been dealing with, Yolanda and Vin. And these guys have dated, well, not guys, but the lady and the man. We're still trying to keep sex, you know, between a man, I mean, marriage between a man and a woman here on this show, at least. not that we're knocking anything out, but we're just trying to do it this way. Vin and Yolanda dated for 2 years. They ignored all of the telltale signs. They ignored all of them. And now they're married, and it's only been 11 months, and they both mutually agree to call it quits. You know, they don't want a legal separation. They don't want to go to counseling. They both agree, let's just quit. They both have 2 children from previous marriages. And it's just now, it's like, they've had physical altercations, and that's always bad. Anytime you have a physical altercation, I wouldn't tell anybody to stay in any relationship when there's a physical altercation. We talked tonight about physical abuse. You know, some of the telltale signs: physical abuse, mental abuse, manipulations that lead to mental abuse. So that's what we've been talking about on tonight's show. So if you want to speak to any of the issues relative to that, we will be more than happy to hear from you. We're going to go to the phone lines once again, and then we're going to go take some more of the comments. We're going to go to 305-684. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air with us?
Hey, Dr. Walker, how are you?
We're doing just great. Who do we have with us this evening?
Oh, this is Ben.
Ben, thank you for joining us. Ben, give us your thoughts tonight on some telltale signs of that people may ignore and that they might be wasting their time in the relationship.
I actually just tuned into the show, so I didn't catch a lot. The only part that I heard was Rose saying something about somebody else dating another person's ex and stuff like that.
Okay.
I don't want to comment on.
All right, go ahead, Ben. Comment on that.
I think that that's not a good thing to date a friend's ex or a relative's ex. That's kind of one of those unwritten rules that you just don't do to me, because it's a sign of, you know, maybe this was something that was planned while we were together. Maybe they were talking before. Maybe, you know, they were looking at each other and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And bring
all right.
back all disrespectful
all right.
to me.
All right, we're getting some static from your end, Ben, but let me go to Rose for a second, because I don't know if that's clearly what Rose was saying, that to go ahead and date somebody's ex. So, Rose, give us your thoughts. Is that what you were saying?
Oh, no, Dr. Walker. Hi, Ben. No, what I said is that I would not date my friend's ex or my relative's ex. That's just, I don't care who wants to date my ex, but at the same time, I do not expect my relative or, you know, to date my ex. That's not something I would expect. I don't think I would hope my relatives wouldn't do that. But I would not definitely not date my friend's ex. But as I say also, when I'm through with my ex, I don't care if a friend wants to date him. I would care, I think, if my relative, if a sibling dates my ex, because that means that he's still going to have to be around, you know, reunions and everything else. I don't think that would be something good. That's what I would say.
Okay, thank you for that. We're going to ask you all to stand by. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. We're going to take some more comments, but let's go to the phone line once again. We're going to go to 305-748. Thank you for joining us. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have on the air with us this evening?
How you doing, Dr. Walk? This is Wayne. I saw the comment on the first end of the show where it says about settling. When the husband and wife, I believe that did they bring any old baggage into marriage with them, each of them?
Right.
And I don't believe a man putting his hand on a lady. I also don't believe a woman staying in an abusive relationship. But sometimes women get lonely and say that they'll settle for anything. Is she just settling? When is it?
Okay, I think that that's an interesting point, Wayne, that you bring up, that women do end up sometimes in abusive situations. And we're going to ask Ms. Blake to speak to that as well. Because I think it becomes a self-esteem issue where a woman stays in an abusive situation. Self-esteem because she may feel she can't afford to be out there by herself. She feels she can't find somebody else that would treat her as an equal. I think there's a number of factors. Ms. Blake, I'm going to ask you to speak to that issue.
Well, and I'm certainly not an expert, but I know that there's a whole different psyche to the abused victim. Or the victims of abuse. And so, you know, people are quick to say self-esteem, but there is some of that involved, but it's also a point where that individual controls them. So they feel a hopelessness and a helplessness of getting out of the relationship. And because you have women who, yeah, eventually they probably will encounter some self-esteem issues from the abuse, not necessarily that they had the self-esteem issues prior to the abuse.
Right.
But it's that
right.
feeling that they can't escape, I think it's why.
Right, I think that fear.
Makes them feel the same thing.
Right, and I think that fear plays a role in
right.
there as well. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to the phone lines once again. We're going to go to 863-412. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have on the air this evening?
You have Dennis on the air.
Dennis on the air. Thank you for joining us, Dennis. Dennis, give give us your thoughts. What's on your mind this evening?
Like your last caller, I don't believe in abusive women or abusive men. Abusive relationship is just wrong. In every account, any way you look at it, up, down, sideways, back, or forward, it is wrong. Physical abuse is worse. Verbal abuse is bad. And I was in a verbal abuse relationship for 35 years and did not realize it because as a man, I never thought that a woman could abuse me like that. And I was being abused. I was being manipulated. And once I got out of it, I was able to see, and people told me that they saw it. So, with Mrs. Blake was saying, we need to try to be able to see it and deal with it so it doesn't affect that person.
Well, let me ask you, Dennis, since you put it out there, and I certainly that's an interesting point, and since you put it out there, let me ask you, you say you were in that situation, I'm assuming that it was a marriage for 35 years. Assuming that it's your ex now, because you say you got out of it, did she leave you or did you leave her?
She left me because I couldn't see it. And so, and that's when it started coming out. It was a marriage. And yes, it is over. And now that, I step back and look at it and listen to friends and family who saw it, they didn't try to help me out of it. They tried to help me along with it. And if you see somebody in an abusive relationship, you should try to do something, get them some help, get them to be able to see it, because over the years, just like a physical abuse, you settle. And once you settle, it becomes a part of nature. I mean, just a part of what goes on. And verbal is just as bad as that physical when you settle, because it doesn't get any better. It continues to get worse.
Well, Dennis, I've got to ask you this question. We're running out of time, and we wanted to get to a few more comments. But I want to ask you this question, and we're going to ask you to give us a quick response, if you would. What advice, if any, would you have to people who might be in these long-term relationships where it is abusive, mentally or verbally abusive? What are some of the telltale signs so people can – they can wake up? Because you obviously did not wake up. He sort of controlled the relationship. And if she hadn't dumped you, just like you said, you probably would still be in there. So what is it that you could probably tell someone so that they can say, you know what, enough is enough?
Sit back and look at. Sometimes, you do premarital counseling. Sometimes it's good to do marital counseling while you're in a relationship to make sure that the things that were supposed to be there or how they're supposed to be is really what they really are.
Okay. All right. Then we're going to ask you to stand by and hold that thought. You're listening live to Dr. Schwartz. So we're going to take at least four more comments, but let's go to the phone lines once again. We're going to go to 954-417. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us this evening? Okay, we must have lost that caller.
All right, we have a bad contact.
All right, we're going to ask you all, let's take some more of the comments that have come in. Ms. Blake, we're going to throw this comment out at you. Let's see here what we have. Okay, looks like we're having a little difficulty in the studio, but we're going to get past that. Okay, here we go. This male writes in. He says, in reference to tonight's broadcast, some telltale signs that you may be wasting time in your relationship. He says, I have a lady friend who asked my opinion about a guy she was dating. I clearly gave her my perspective as a male about the issue. She ignored my advice and married the guy anyway. The same things that I ended up telling her were, in fact, the same problems she had with him, which caused their marriage to last for only 8 months and lead to their divorce. I think it helps to ask an objective friend of the opposite sex about a concern you may be having in your relationship. Ms. Blake, how important is that? I mean, Dennis mentioned how he said, I believe he said some family and friends saw things that he didn't see. Here a situation is, how important is it that you ask an objective friend, and I think that's the key word, objective friend of the opposite sex about a concern you may be having in your relationship. How important
is
that?
I think it is helpful. It has to be somebody that you know has got your back and your best interest at heart, not somebody who wishes they could get with you. So you got to be careful of who you ask. But if people are honest, and in reference to the last comment, I'm not surprised, because sometimes when we as human beings are in love, that really clouds our judgment. It's not just sex that clouds the judgment. Love clouds it too. And so, you know, people fall in love, their hearts get intertwined in a situation, and it's a little bit difficult for them to pull out. And that's probably why she went ahead and got married.
Okay. We're going to hold that thought. Wayne, we're going to give you one of these comments. Are you still with us?
Yes. It's very unusual what the young man came on about male abuse, but it is not talked about in today's society. But I believe only a couple that is going through that trouble. I think it's all over for them. It should go their separate ways, and I'm pretty sure the young lady will find somebody that's willing to treat her nice. Just don't look for, you know, don't just look for the telltale signs at first, but don't bring past relationship into a new relationship.
Right.
I think that that's a, Wayne, I think that that's a very interesting point and perspective. Let me give you a comment also that has come in, and we're going to ask you to give us a quick thought on this. This male writes in, he says, I think when people are in love, they often block out the telltale signs because they simply want the person more than taking stock of the problems or issues that are associated with the person. I'll put it that way. You know, you block those telltale signs out because you really want what you want.
Are they blocking them out because he feels out of fear that he can't find no one else? Why is he really blocking out that he feels that he's not good enough for her and that he's willing to take all her crap along with him, afraid of her leaving him?
Yeah. So that's usually the case. So you think that because they want them bad enough, they're willing to accept and settle. Is that what you're saying, telling us?
Exactly. If I'm going with a Halle Berry type of person, I'm willing to accept everything she got because I got such a low self-esteem because of her parents and my parents that I put on the pedestal. I'm willing to take all the crap that she's willing to give me.
Okay. All right. That's an interesting point. All right. Let's run over to Ben. Are you still with us, Ben? All right. Perhaps Ben is not there. Let me jump over to Dennis, and then, Ms. Blake, we're going to give you the last comment that we'll be able to take tonight. Dennis, let's give you this comment. It comes in from this female. She says, I'm glad I was one of those who listened to my head as opposed to my heart when it came to the telltale signs before I got married. I broke up with the guy after dating him for a little over 7 months. I learned a year later that he got married, and the lady was, in fact, terribly miserable. My understanding is he went through some of the very same things that I liked through had I married him. She says, finally, pay attention to those telltale signs. How important is it, Dennis, to pay attention quickly to those telltale signs?
It's very important to listen to telltale signs because they're talking to you. And when you listen to them, they'll give you your answer. If you really feel it, women usually have that women intuition, so there's something there that they need to listen to, and when they do, it usually comes through. When my mother tells me some things, I listen to it because she knows, or she has that strong feeling.
Mm-hmm. But Dennis, what you're saying, that I got to throw this out there just quickly. I don't mean to put you out there. But you put it out there because what your message tonight might be helping someone. So did your mother see some of the telltale signs when you were married for 35 years and she tried to warn you within the first 5 years and you ignored those telltale signs from your mama?
No, not in the first 5 years, in the last 5 years.
Okay. Okay. 30 years a little bit too late. Okay, well, Dennis, we're going to ask you to stand by. Miss Blake, we're going to give you the last comment here.
Okay.
And this female writes in, she says, in reference to the telltale signs, she says, unfortunately, I ignored the telltale signs before I got married 3 years ago. I thought that things would change with my boyfriend. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh, but this is kind of interesting here. She says she ignored him, and she's actually telling me. She says, before she got married to her boyfriend 3 years ago, I thought that things would change with my boyfriend, and at the time, I hoped that when we got married, we would have lived. She says, I hope we would have lived happily ever after. I was totally wrong because I should have known better that what you see is likely what you get. Miss Blake, is that real all true? I know you say oftentimes, believe people in showing you, and I'm paraphrasing here, believe people when they show you who they are. How true is that?
Right.
Which is likely what you get, Miss Blake.
It's so true. And if I could say one thing to her this evening, and I actually have a book out there saying Where Is My Happily Ever After? It's an e-book. Google that and you'll find it on Amazon. But you know what? Don't believe the fairy tale. Too many of us have believed the fairy tale. And you need to look at what you see and believe it instead of thinking just like she thought. And I'm just saying, don't be hard on yourself. You know, we live and we learn and we move on.
Absolutely, Ms. Blake. Thank you for that. And I do apologize. I wasn't laughing at the it was just a carryover on some of the things that we deal with on the show. All right.
Right.
Thank you all for joining us this evening. Ms. Blake, thank you so very much for co-hosting and being with me for so long. And I look forward to the interview session. You all don't want to miss this live interview next week with Ms. Blake, author of Fall in Love with Me. And join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you missed this Friday, join us back here again next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show with a live interview with Ms. Blake. Until either this Friday or next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.